White. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, December 27th, 1905.
My dear son, Willie, I have not been able to accomplish much today. Lately, my sleep has been more satisfactory. For a long time, I have not been able to sleep past 3 o'clock, but for a few nights, I have slept until 4. This morning, I learned that Elder Haskell and his wife came last night. Elder Haskell has been, and still is, suffering from boils, and this cripples him somewhat. But what a change there is in his complexion. His skin is clear, and his appetite excellent. He has gone to the sanitarium this morning for treatment. Both he and his wife seem to be in good spirits. I am sending you a letter that I received from Dr. Kress. I took the liberty of opening and reading your letters from Australia and will send them on to you. They contain much that is of interest. In the next mail, I hope to send you something that I shall have copied from my diary. We miss you very much, and will all be so pleased to have you with us again. I feel relieved of a great load since I have written out some things. These must be printed as soon as possible. I refuse any longer to excuse the defects in the character of Dr. Kellogg. His life has been so unchristlike as to put the Savior, whom he professes to serve, to open shame. We are guilty in keeping him in his position and acknowledging him as a representative man. Truth, Bible truth, is to be exalted. But Dr. Kellogg's actions show that he cannot be trusted. He is sowing seeds that will spring up and bear a harvest of tares. Soon after we returned to this country, the word came to me, go to Battle Creek. Dr. Kellogg is my physician. You can help him. I said, yes, Lord. I was directed to tell him that he was loading himself down with responsibilities that the Lord had not laid upon him. The word that came to me was, tell him the truth. His mind is unbalanced, and his business is to unload, to throw off the burdens he has gathered. I did this, but Dr. Kellogg would not heed the message given. I see no more that I can do. His associates will have a serious account to settle with the Lord, who has given them a rich experience, which they might have added to if they had taken heed to the light given them. They have chosen a very objectionable character to unite with. The Lord will judge them for permitting their influence to strengthen and uphold a man whose course of action is that of an unbeliever. The Lord will judge them for sustaining him in his deceptive influence against the truth and against righteousness. I am now to lay this burden off, if possible. There have been a few times when I have felt that the responsibility of the case was killing me. The words spoken to me are, Kellogg could have done an excellent work as a physician. I have given him adaptability. I have given him skill and understanding to do a work as my physician. He needed the purity of Christ's character to keep him from all evil practices. Had he kept his work free from his ingenuities and devisings and plans and schemings, had he refused to load himself down with responsibilities that God had not placed on him, had he not exercised subtlety under the guise of goodness, the Lord could have used him. But he has spoiled minds by his devisings and schemes to profit himself withal. The artifice of Satan has become mingled with all his experiences. His counsel, his plans are not honest and just. He is not a true worker in any line because his mind is spoiled. He has sown seed that has sprung up to bear the fruit of selfishness, and this has disqualified and unfitted him to be trusted with the sacred work of God. The root of bitterness, springing up with a wonderfully luxuriant growth, has caused many to be defiled. And it is cherished as if it were a golden treasure. Dr. Kellogg goes one, continuing to aid the artful foe by communicating unbelief, bitterness, hatred, evil surmising. jealousy. The time has come when we must come out from this evil work and separate from every jot and tittle of it. For he is carrying out the devisings of the enemy, and his work he will do, resisting every effort made in his behalf. If there are those who have been converted to his way of thinking and to his unjust proceedings, unless they repent, we cannot be in unity with them. We would be guilty in sustaining them. They are not in darkness. They have had the light. The Lord will accept none of their excuses for pursuing the course they have pursued, linking up with one whose methods are similar to those of worldlings who care nothing for God or his truth.
I now call upon our people no longer to show fellowship with the man who refuses every effort made to reform him. If he will come to the light now and seek the Lord with all his heart, repenting sincerely for his transgression of the law of God, truth would again triumph in his life. But unless he seeks the Lord with all humility of mind, it would be the greatest folly to entrust him with stewardship. Let him now make it his business to save his soul, for the day of God is right upon us.